Welcome to this episode of the Photonic Podcast with me, Jeremy, public member of the Photonic team, Angus Ramsey, the lead investigator, and today's guest, Robin Stevens of the Stroke Association. Photonic is a research study funded by the National Institute for Health and Social Care Research to look at pre-hospital video triage, a new way to check whether patients are having a stroke. The Photonic team are looking at how pre-hospital video triage services are put into action and how they are experienced by patients, carers, and staff. They're also looking at whether these services make a difference to patient care and how well stroke patients do and whether the services are good value for money. In our podcast, we want to keep our listeners updated on how Photonic is progressing and give a bit of insight on the people involved with our work. Angus, can I begin by asking you, is there anything you'd like to share with us about the study since the last podcast?
Thanks, Jeremy. Really nice to see you. Quite a short update today, I think. So we're continuing with our qualitative data collection, so interviewing and conducting observations. We're working hard to move forward our requests for national data sets on stroke care delivery, patient outcomes, and ambulance journeys. And in terms of our sort of analyses, we're continuing to prepare for the conferences where we're going to be presenting initial findings in June and July in Manchester and Birmingham. So that's where we are right now.
Oh, that sounds interesting about the conferences. I'm looking forward to hearing more about that. I'm keen with these podcasts to give listeners a rounded picture, not just of the study, but of research generally and how it works. We have here today the Stroke Association in the figure of Robin. Can you explain to the listeners, Angus, at what point in the study design you involved the Stroke Association?
Thanks, Jeremy. So, last time we were talking about the involvement of clinical collaborators in research. And really, from my point of view, it was exactly the same with our involvement of the voluntary sector of charities through the Stroke Association. So as soon as possible, basically, I approached a previous collaborator of mine, a man called Josh Edwards, as I began to plan the application for Photonic at the beginning of 2021. And he kindly agreed to join the project team and supported the original development of our proposal throughout that process. That's really how we began the involvement of the Stroke Association.
Thank you. How important to you was it that you involved the Stroke Association? I mean, this study isn't funded by the Stroke Association after all. So you were clearly motivated to include the Stroke Association.
Yes. So, I mean, a lot of that builds on experiences from the past. So we've worked closely with the Stroke Association on, I think, all of the research that I've done in terms of stroke services. So since we did our initial work looking at how stroke services are organized and reorganized into more centralized specialist systems, and through that initial collaboration, we were working with the Stroke Association on our project advisory committee, and we got a real appreciation of just how much organizations like the Stroke Association can give to understanding the bigger picture, both in terms of what matters to stroke survivors and carers and the people around them, but also in terms of understanding the wider policy landscape and how one can actually achieve meaningful influence both at national and more regional levels. So it was absolutely key in terms of shaping our project.
That's amazing how influential the Stroke Association have been to this project. You know, I would like so much for the third sector to be involved in research and influencing research studies. when do you think is the ideal point to involve third sector organisations? Is there a point when they could come in either too early or too late?
So from my point of view, it would be the earlier the better, as soon as possible. And so in the case of this project, they've been central throughout, and some of their immediate contributions, for example, were in terms of putting us in contact with patient representatives, such as yourself, which was central to making the project happen. And Robin continues to attend our meetings, as has been central to the overall management of the work and to brokering opportunities for us to get the message out about our work. I don't think it's ever too late. So, for example, our initial involvement with the Stroke Association on our earliest research was sort of midway through the project, where we thought it would be great to get a wider range of perspectives as our study expanded, and we got huge value from it. But I think, as with any collaboration, the sooner you can do it, the better, because you can start exploring whether the questions are meaningful and then how to explore them effectively. So it kind of, it's of a part with the wider discussion that we've had about collaboration over the previous podcasts.
My observation over the years of being involved as a member of the public informing research is that the earlier the public get involved, the better. So thank you for that. I'd like now, please, to turn to Robin. Robin, what were your initial impressions when you were approached by Angus?
I think I was pretty excited. I joined the project, I think it was around last June. So my predecessor, Josh, left the Stroke Association, and before he left, he was looking for a replacement to join the project group. One of my policy areas is around ambulance response times and system pressures. So I was developing what were our policy messages with regards to improving response times for stroke patients. So I had an interest from that perspective on anything that could reduce the time it took for stroke patients to get to hospital. And I think with pre-hospital video triage, it can play such an important role in reducing that on-scene time for paramedics to diagnose stroke faster.
So thank you. I mean, you sparked another question in my mind about the involvement of ambulance. How long have you had this interest in ambulance work?
Since I joined the Stroke Association, which was about a year and a half ago, it was given to me as part of my portfolio to look at this area. And it's such a complex area at the moment, and there's been some really challenging conversations that I think we've been having at the Stroke Association, and we've been hearing some very worrying cases as well from stroke survivors about how long they've been waiting for an ambulance prior to getting to hospital. Some people have been waiting for hours at home after calling 999, feeling quite helpless, confused. People, even when they get a paramedic to attend to them, are waiting at the back of ambulances, at emergency departments for long periods of time. So, yeah, pretty much since I've joined the Stroke Association, this has been pretty high on my radar. And, one area that I find quite interesting, actually.
This is really very, very topical at the moment, for obvious reasons, with the nurses going on strike and doctors going on strike. And I think you're in a very privileged position to help carry the influence that you do. The involvement with this particular study, or the themes within this particular study, is this an idea that has been discussed either formally or informally within the Stroke Association?
I think it's a bit of both. Definitely informally at meetings. meetings. After I've attended Photonic meetings, I speak sort of informally to my colleagues about what was raised. I've also had maybe slightly more formal discussions with colleagues as well. So shortly after I joined the group, I spoke to my policy and influencing team a little bit more about Photonic and what the research questions were, and tried to make sure that everyone had a pretty good understanding of exactly what this project was and what it's trying to achieve, and the massive potential as well for these innovations. So, yeah, and I think with video triage, I think the potential is enormous, really. We led the stroke priority setting partnership, which identified 10 priority research areas within stroke prevention, diagnosis, pre-hospital and hospital care. And one of the priority areas for research identified was how can the public, paramedics and other healthcare professionals recognise and respond to stroke or TIAs better and more quickly. So I think pre-hospital video triage fits quite nicely into that category. So I think it's definitely an area that we're pretty interested in looking into further.
You sound really very motivated and excited by this particular role. I'm curious, what's been your involvement in the stroke? I mean, how did you come to the Stroke Association? What drew you to this particular role?
Oh, what drew me to the Stroke Association? Yeah. So I wanted to get into health policy for a while. So I previously worked for another charity, but it was in quite a different area. The charity was called the Ramblers. So it's a walking charity focused on trying to get better public access to green spaces, to footpaths, that sort of thing. But I've wanted to get into the health realm for a while. I've got a personal connection to stroke. Sadly, my father died of a stroke around 10 years ago. So I think stroke is something that's quite close to my heart. And I think trying to prevent strokes and improve stroke care is something that I'm pretty passionate about.
Wow, that's an amazing backstory there. What are your hopes for stroke patients looking into the future, specifically about what happens before they get to hospital? I mean, could pre-hospital triage be the way forward, or could there be other things that would help?
I think so. I think my hope is just for all stroke patients to receive that timely response and quality care from professionals before they get to hospital. And I think to be able to quickly access the treatments they need, like thrombolysis or thrombectomy. Thrombectomy rates at the moment are quite far off their targets. So NHS England, in their long-term plan, has the target of 10%. And I think at the moment, at the last quarter, it was around 3.3%. So we're quite a long way away from the potential there. And I think something like pre-hospital video triage has enormous potential for speeding up the process. We launched our Saving Brains campaign last year, which highlighted unequal access to thrombectomy as one of our key concerns. And we released a report that came with 6 recommendations. And one of them was around innovation into practice, where we highlighted evidence innovations like pre-hospital video triage and wanting them to be universally adopted to speed up and maximise access to thrombectomy. So I think these sorts of innovations play an important role. I've heard other innovations out there as well, but I think there's not as much research going into them. So I'd also like to see more research, I think, to evidence some of these innovations. And I'd like for NHS England and other decision makers to adopt these sort of measures as soon as possible to improve outcomes for stroke patients as well. So I think that's pretty key. I think alongside those innovations, there's also sort of the systemic issues that really do need to be tackled as well, like the chronic workforce issues that we're seeing in the health and social care system. So I think that's key. There's so much that needs to happen at all levels, locally and nationally. So I'd like to see the whole system really working together to try and tackle this system-wide issue of ambulance response times and improving care and for stroke patients.
Your passion is infectious. It really is. And I think this is really wonderful just how much influence the Stroke Association does carry in the world of health, way, way beyond what the public would expect. At the end of each study, there is a plan to disseminate the results widely. And what will the Stroke Association be contributing to spreading the word?
We have quite a few communication channels that are sort of open at the moment. So we've got our social media platforms. We have newsletters that we send to our supporters. We also help to host conferences and events like UK Stroke Forum, which I think is a really key one as that brings together stroke professionals and researchers. But we can also speak about this research as well when speaking with decision makers and government. So last year, we actually responded to written evidence for their House of Lords Public Services Committee, where they were looking at examples of innovation and best practice to improve emergency healthcare. So in my response, I did highlight this area of research and video triage as one of those examples that can really shape things to make things a lot better, I think, for stroke patients. So there's definitely quite a few different ways we can go. So I think definitely speaking with decision makers and the kind of meetings that we go to with MPs, I think we also speak to decision makers in the NHS, also integrated stroke delivery networks as well. We have colleagues that go along to those meetings. So there's lots of ways that I think my colleagues and I can spread the word far and wide.
Marvellous. I really do hope the government will listen to the outcomes of this particular study. Angus, what are your dissemination plans for this?
So thanks, Jeremy. I think Robin's really nicely illustrated several of the opportunities that we have. I think one of the points that I would make is that it's worth sort of splitting it into two halves in a way. So in terms of the kinds of lessons that we can share and in terms of the approaches that we'll take, I think it's important to note that the research will be providing lessons not just on whether pre-hospital video triage makes a difference to care and outcomes, but also how these services are put into action and how these effects might be achieved. And that speaks quite a bit to the points that were being raised by Robin a minute ago in terms of some of the contextual factors and challenges that there might be around things like workforce and so on. So when we're speaking with people, we're asking them about, you know, what do you have to do to put a service into action? What do you have to do to sustain it over the 7-day week? What happens at night? That kind of thing. So we should be able to provide both bits of lessons, but both types of lessons, I think, over the course of this research. And I think in terms of sharing it, in terms of disseminating it, there has to be this ongoing engagement. So we want to be sharing our lessons formatively as we go, with the services who are taking part and with other regions who are interested in doing this sort of thing. So we're working closely with the national pilot, which is running pilots of pre-hospital video triage across many regions of England now. And we're working closely with the Stroke Association in the devolved nations. So we're communicating with people in Wales, Northern Ireland and Scotland, as well as in England. And we're trying to get the word out as we go, in addition to ongoing sharing of developing lessons. We want to provide sort of more formal outputs, such as academic publications in healthcare research journals, in professional journals, and present our findings at conferences such as the UK Stroke Forum, which is organised by the Stroke Association, but also at other academic conferences related to, say, organisation of health services research, health economics, and so on and so forth. So a whole range of outputs that hopefully will be hitting the question in different ways right the way through and beyond the project lifespan.
Marvellous. I think sort of one of the things that's come across to me over the years in research is just how influential studies can be, and how carefully are the studies selected by the funders, the NIHR especially, when they look at a project to consider the potential that it has. We're nearly at the end of our podcast now, but we'd just like to ask if within your profession you have a particular hero, and if so, who is it and why are they a hero?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I really admire Bola Owolabi, and she has helped to, I think, really improve or maybe shape our approach to tackling health inequalities. And I've really enjoyed seeing how she's helped to shape the Core 20 plus 5 approach in England to tackling health disparities. So that's someone who I think I'm admiring her work at the moment.
Thank you very much indeed. If listeners want to follow that up, where would they find links to that contact?
Definitely, I think, on the NHS England website.
Ah, right. Lovely. Thank you. Well, this brings us to the close of our time now, but is there anything else, Robin or Angus, that you would like to add?
I think just that I think now is a really good time to be speaking about this in the wake of COVID, where I think there's a bit more conversation going around sort of the role of digital and technology and slightly new ways of doing things. So I think I'm really excited to see what happens next and how this work is going to shape ways of working within the ambulance service and the kind of wider NHS.
Thank you. Angus, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Not especially. Very, very excited to see where things go from here. Of course, the other thing I should note is that when you asked me about dissemination, I forgot to mention the podcast, which is actually, I really hope, is going to keep people connected with our work in a more organic way. So, and thank you again for all your work on this.
Well, once again, thank you, Robin, and thank you, Angus. Our next podcast will be even more enlightening. If you'd like to learn more about the study, the Photonic website has a short explainer video and a link to the detailed research plans, or you can drop Angus a line directly. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.